Good morning. Time for our cool conversation. I'm George Plummer. On the program today, we have Keene Spellman with Grady Memorial Hospital. And Keene, good to have you on the show.
Good morning, George. Top of the day to everybody on the radio.
We are going to be talking about Keene's final days as the administrator at the hospital because the search is going on right now for a new administrator. He announced his retirement just a few months back. So we're going to talk about his career at the hospital and what the new individual might be in store for when they take over. So our thanks to our sponsors, who are Stanley Systems and Community Bank of Oklahoma, for having us out here today. So, Keene, we had you on a few months back, I guess, announcing your retirement, which will be coming up here pretty quick, right?
Yeah, it's been, I don't believe I'll be 69 when I retire.
Really?
I don't feel like I'm 69.
You don't look 69.
Well,
yeah.
Thank you. I keep telling myself that. I see the baggy eyes.
Yes.
So I kind of was motivated by my lovely wife, who has been so anxious for 3 years for me to. She kind of thought the 65 thing,
mm-hmm.
and that was COVID. I mean, no way was that going to happen. And so we just kind of flew all by the normal retirement dates. And so,
mm-hmm.
so anyway, I'm still healthy, and so I'm kind of feeling I'm feeling kind of good about it because I can do anything I want to do right now. And you never know. Sometimes life throws curveballs, and some people get sick. But I've been blessed. I don't feel sick, and I could still.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. Do consulting, anything I wanted to do, or just mow the lawn and stay home here in Chickasha and get more involved in clubs and organizations.
Right. Who knows? So you announced your retirement in early January. So
early January.
Talk about what the hospital board has been doing over the last several weeks.
Well, you one of your sponsors on today's show is Stanley's,
mm-hmm.
and Greg Elliott, as you all know, is the owner of Stanley's. And he's my finance chair. So there's been a lot of process. Well, I'm very, very proud of the hospital board because, you know, I'll be here almost 12 years. And so I've given a lot of my psychological and emotional energy to this place, and I want her taken care of. And I'm going to make sure to the degree I can that the hospital continues to thrive. It's been a difficult 12 years. We've had... as most of your listeners know, the hospital was in pretty severe financial crisis when I got here. I had designs to build a brand new hospital, and we almost got there when the state of Oklahoma decided to throw us a huge curveball and shut down our surgery over the air handling and concerns on infection control. And then, of course, the sales tax got us through that, but we had to survive long enough to open the new building, and now it's beautiful. And as you would have expected, the hospital boomed after we had that new building. We lost a lot of doctors, including our OB doctors, because we couldn't do C-sections. So that was really disappointing. But when we finally got the building open, everything looked so great and bright, and we were successful again, and we were recruiting doctors again, and then COVID comes. And that just knocked the stuffing out of every hospital, really, that I know of. So COVID pretty much ended in 2022. It was over. Mm-hmm. But then we had this big inflationary cost crisis that hospitals today are still struggling with. And so the board got through all that. We all kind of hung in there together. So what the board did on my retirement was they had extensive discussions, and they, and I think very wisely, chose to hire a professional recruiter to be better than what I could do by myself, because I have a lot of contacts in the field, but they're primarily Oklahoma and some in Tennessee, because I was a regional VP before I took this role. And they had some professional advice from Patty Davis, and Patty was the previous Oklahoma Hospital Association chair,
mm-hmm.
Carnegie resident, wonderful woman, intelligent.
I worked with Patty a number of years ago.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She is and she was helping the board pro bono because she's a friend of mine too. And, you know, of course, you know, I like free, and and my efforts and Patty's would be free. But the board said, look, you know, we really know that we're on the cusp of a lot of things. There's a lot of momentum going on right now at the hospital. Maybe this wasn't the best timing from a business standpoint, but my wife's happy as a clam.
So you hired a headhunting firm. So it's a national search.
National search. Or, mm-hmm. It's AMN, which is basically people would, you know, not recognize those initials. But it's probably the third largest healthcare executive search firm in the country. Whit Kiefer's another competitor, and we had proposals. Well, they basically did this. They started doing the search. They had a very well planned out process. They gave the board a lot of great advice, and so they advertised the position. They, you know, within our field that we had, they told me that they received 147 candidate applications for this role, and I was like shocked because when I applied, there was only 50. So it's this whoever they're going to hire is three times better than me, and that makes me happy. So they had a big, big pool of people, and that speaks to this condition of the field, I think. In addition, this hospital was actually in the black. Praise the Lord. Most hospitals aren't. About 40% of us are still in the red. Hospitals to our north, bigger, but they're losing money, and it's just a very tough industry. Well, anyway, so if those 147, they culled it down, which you have to, right? Mm-hmm. And they got it down to 27 candidates that they actually thought on paper. They had the degree background, the experience of the board lined out, all the criteria that the board has been controlling this from the beginning, and not Keen Spellman. It's been the board. And they are led by Heather Witt, a wonderful Chickasha girl. She only wants the best for the community. And I know that as a public trust that we have some great board members, and they've done a solid job on this.
Right, so interviews are being conducted with these final 27 candidates?
And well, they did that. It's mm-hmm. already done. Okay. They did 27 interviews on basically Zoom, and so they didn't bring them in. They brought the top six candidates to Chickasha about 3 weeks ago. And then they narrowed down to just three because they knew that they had to make a decision. I'll be here for the duration, and so I can extend a little. But my target was like maybe mid-April, maybe mid-March. It depends on how much. In my field, most of my peers need to give 60 days notice. Some of them want more because they care about their hospitals, if they're working, of course. And, you know, I totally appreciate that because I care about this place. And I'm going to overlap a little, but generally when the new person comes in, I'm out the door because nobody needs two bosses, and I know the feeling. But I'll be a resource to the person, and you know, a lot of things are in my head about history and why we did certain things, whatever. But it'll be real exciting once we have a finalist and we'll publicly announce it. And George, you know, I appreciate you, so you might get a scoop.
Keen Spellman with us on the Cool Conversation, administrator with Grady Memorial Hospital. Keen, you've talked about this before, but the hospital's the largest employer in the county. How many employees? What's your budget? And I know you've recruited a lot of new doctors over the last couple 3 years.
Myself and the whole team. But, yes, you know that we have about 437 FTEs, and that's
full-time employees,
full-time equivalents. Yeah. Probably 400 full-time people, about 37 part-time, and then of course we have changes and people coming and going. But over the post-COVID years, we've been slowly growing, and so recently we've been very pleased with the caliber and the number of added providers. And I'm saying that because some of our biggest assets are nurse practitioners and PAs, not just physicians. And you guys may not know, but Andrea Roberts is joining the hospital. She's a super capable person in this community. A lot of people know Andrea when she was with Dr. Johnson. We've recruited three super great doctors in just the recent time. We got Dr. Jonathan Sacomto about 3 years ago. We brought Dr. Byers, the pain medicine physician, 2 years ago. We brought in Dr. Miller's helping him in pain, and Dr. Miller's in internal medicine, but we didn't recruit him. We already had Dr. Miller. And then we have the latest and greatest, Dr. Gunderson, orthopedic surgeon, who my wife had shoulder surgery, and he is a star. And so we've had some very successful procedure-based doctors, which our community needs, and we are continuing to keep on this momentum by adding additional staff in our operating rooms, growing that surgery type of thing. Our imaging department is extremely busy. We can't even find enough employees to do imaging. Our ER this winter was a zoo. Thank you, Dr. Deacon Weiss, who is the director of that, and Chester Ryan, RN, who's the director on the nursing side. Because, I mean, when everybody had all this cold and flu and all these things that happened this winter, our normal volume in the ERs are busy at 50 patients a day. Well, they were at 75, 90 patients. It was crazy how many people were coming to our ER. And that just speaks to the quality of Dr. Weiss and Dr. Campbell and all the other doctors that work there and all the nurse professionals who do such a super job at the ER, because today's time, ER is the front door of the hospital.
Let's get to the entire budget for the hospital. Okay. What's the new administrator going to be doling out on an annual basis?
Our total net revenue, and we basically spend almost everything we make, and it's about a $52 million business out there over on Iowa. And it's clearly a huge enterprise. And so Jackie McAdoo, who's my CFO, she and I, we share one thing, that every payroll, when we have to come up with $500,000 or $1 million to cover all of our bills and payroll, we started going, geez, this is when I got here, it was like $250,000. But it has just exploded. And it's all because of the community starting to have more faith in Grady Memorial, the caliber of doctors we have, the caliber of employees we have. So as anyone with a degree of common sense in hospital management could see that the hospital's in a positive trend. Two years ago, we actually had a small loss post-COVID. Last year, we were in the black. This year, we're in the black. And we had almost a 6% margin, if you want to look at that. But a lot of it's because of the sales tax, because without the sales tax, we'd have been closed. Without the sales tax, we would have to debt service that beautiful new building, and we just don't have the funds to do it. As it is, all of the money that we earn pays our own bills. We don't have any ongoing county support other than the tax that basically pays the mortgage.
Right. Let's talk about I know probably the thing that you are disappointed in. You haven't been able to bring back the OBGYN, and what's the long time solution for that, there is one?
Three big challenges on that. Number one, it's a very important goal to me. Personally, I love babies, right? Well, but it's the second most important goal to the board. And the board made the decision, with the medical staff leading the charge, that while OB recovery is very important, mental health care and drug abuse is the biggest concern our community has, and they've been targeting that. Well, the problem with OB is that it's a big, big, big challenge because of three things. To meet the new code, when you close a unit, you have to bring it up to code, and we would have to build on the second floor of the hospital or in some other facility an entire new labor and delivery department and nursery. And that we had an architect actually draw it up, because I'm an ambitious guy. I wanted to get this done before COVID. Mm-hmm. It was right when COVID happened, that's what I was wanting to do. And that would mean we would only have OB down for like 3 years. Well, now it's been 8. And so it's just disappointing. But the biggest challenge would be we probably would have to spend $8 million on new facility. Just that. And I've had lots of people say, well, we could do a fund drive. The county pledged they would help. They all want to do this. Then if we had the facility, then I'd have to ask Mary Beth Malone Holt, my director of nurses, that she needs to recruit a minimum 8.3 labor and delivery nurses, RNs. And trust me, George, that is a big, big challenge in today's modern healthcare. I mean, nurses are very hard to recruit, but OBGYN trained nurses, they're as rare as hen's teeth. And so that would be a huge challenge economically. And then once we have the nurses, we can get the unit open by the state standards. Then we have to provide us with at least 2, maybe 3, fully trained OBGYN specialty doctors. And your audience can tell, those guys make a lot of money. And it would take a tremendous amount of margin on the hospital operational, even if we could come up with the capital to build the facility. So I know we could do it. I mean, this community, but it's a heavy lift. And unfortunately for us, the entire country in rural America, they're dropping OBGYN services because they can't find the physicians, they can't find the nurses. And it's a very challenging medical field because everyone wants top quality medical care when you're delivering a child. So, and that's what we always would do too. So it's a big deal.
Keen, right of time, but I want to thank you for coming in, and looking forward to meeting the new administrator for the hospital once that individual is announced. So stay tuned, as they say.
That's right, George. But you know, we don't use that term anymore. Yeah. It's chief executive officer.
CEO. Okay.
Yeah. Administrator's like 1980s.
All right.
Thank you, George.
Keen Spelman with us on our cool conversation. Hey, a big thanks to our sponsor, Stanley Systems, and Community Bank of Oklahoma for being with us on the show.